And on the line now, I have Bunny Greer. Good afternoon, Bunny.
Good afternoon.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're an American British playwright, novelist, and critic.
Yes.
Just give us a little bit of background.
Oh, well, I was born on the south side of Chicago. I grew up there graduated from DePaul University there and moved to New York in the 80s. And I've been living in London since about 86. And I've been a UK citizen since the middle of the 90s. And I've also been deputy chair of the British Museum and on the board of the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden, and various other organizations.
Okay, and you involved with the European Movement Ireland, or you spoke at an event at the European Movement Ireland?
Yes.
In the National Concert Hall. What was that about?
Yes. Well, the thing that I was really very interested in was in looking at the Republic in particular as part of Europe, and to see that being Irish and being European are not incompatible, and that the Republic has in itself a great example of that kind of being able to reach out to the world and also be of itself. And I also wanted to encourage us to think about civilization, what it is, because we're in fairly uncivilized times. And to talk about that.
Now, Brexit is a big part of what's going on in the Republic of Ireland now at the moment. And I'll be honest with you, some people are actually getting fed up about the whole thing.
Yes, exhausting.
Do you find that the British public are aware of the impact of Brexit on Ireland?
No, I think the UK public in general isn't aware of Ireland at all unless it looms up somehow into its own consciousness. I think a lot of British people, and they're fine people, but I think a lot of them have no idea of Irish history or relationship of Ireland to the United Kingdom, whereas growing up in America, because America is Irish, it's largely a very deep connection with Ireland. I was at Dublin Airport yesterday on the way back to home, and you could see the number of Americans who had come over just to see Ireland. And so most people in the UK have no idea how strong that tie is at all. And so they make fundamental mistakes, like thinking that somehow they'll be able to kind of unconsciously dictate Ireland's position in relation to Brexit or even relation to the UK. And as far as the United States is concerned, I'm saying as far as the United States individual Americans are concerned, that's not the case. And Republicans and Democrats who are pretty much at battle right now, they come together over defending Ireland and making sure that Ireland isn't disrespected. So that's the thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, we have this whole thing. We have Irish UK relationships. We have EU US relations, and the leaders in the US and the leaders in the UK are a bit controversial at the moment. Would you agree with that, Bunny?
And they got the same hair too.
Yeah,
absolutely. Donald Trump will find out shortly that the United States is not a monarchy.
Yeah.
Because he probably will be impeached. And Boris Johnson somehow thinks that this general election, that people are going to vote for him, whereas the UK is a parliamentary democracy, and we don't vote for the prime minister. But yet he's turned, I mean, the UK elections have been going like this for decades, but he's really turned it into a US-style presidential election, which is antithetical to what the United Kingdom is about, what it is, actually.
Yeah, and the elections, we talk about these elections. Will we even get to a presidential election with what's happening, the impeachment process at the moment?
Did you say, will we ever get to one?
Yeah, well, if President Trump is impeached, can he stand again?
Oh, yeah.
You sure can.
And if he's convicted in the Senate, which is the next step, then he's removed from office and he can't run again. But, if he's impeached, sure, he can stand for election. This has never happened before. but he certainly can stand for election again.
Okay, I didn't know that. Now that's a weird one.
Yes.
How did you feel about Brexit and the future of the UK and the European Union, you know, as a whole, the relationships there?
Well, I learned when I was at the European Movement Ireland the talk I gave, and I talked to some people who are involved with the EU, and they've already written the United Kingdom off. I don't think people really realize that. I mean, people have, in a lot of parts of the EU, have moved on because they can't afford anymore to be engaged in whatever's happening with UK internal politics. It's too much. It's hurting the EU in terms of its own reputation, in terms of its economy and so forth. You can imagine having a major member like the UK kind of, you know, dragging it down through its own kind of internal squabbling. So from what I understand, a lot of the EU, in terms of committees and so forth, people have just moved on. They've taken for granted that the UK is going to leave, and even if it doesn't, it's so damaged itself within the organization that it I don't know if it can ever, you know, take a long time for it, even if it decided it wanted to come back and rescind Article 50, which I'm not saying it will. But even if that happens, the damage has been so enormous, and the reputational damage has been so big. Because remember, the UK, before Brexit, was seen as a pretty steady broker within the UK and around the world. And the UK was seen as the adult in the room whenever negotiations were going on and so forth. And now they have this kind of level of delirium that's going on in the United Kingdom right now. It's pretty shocked a lot of people.
Yeah, and going back over the years and the decades, Irish and UK relations have been improving a great deal in leaps and bounds. And now we have this talk of a border on the island of Ireland,
yes,
and it's leading to very bad relations.
Yes. And I think, I brought up on Question Time when I remade my remark, is that most people in the UK don't know that the Good Friday Agreement is a ceasefire.
Yeah.
They don't know that. And so, therefore, they have, I think, a kind of delusion. There's some, I don't know what they're thinking, but they don't know that. And that's never taught to United Kingdom people in school. They don't know a lot about the EU. They don't know anything. They certainly don't know Irish history, and they don't know the history of Ireland and the United Kingdom going through centuries. They don't know. So Ireland pops up on the radar for them as, oh, the Ireland will go along with us, or they're a nuisance, or, you know, well, we have to talk them down or something. And I just, you know, it's quite shocking. And I have to say, you know, coming from America, where Ireland is so visceral, so important on emotional level and in so many levels, to see this kind of, ignorance in a way. And Ireland is so close geographically to the United Kingdom, and people know so little about the country.
Why is there this lack of knowledge?
I think partly because the history of the country is the history of the United Kingdom and Ireland is problematic, to say the least. Ireland was a colony of the United Kingdom for centuries. And so whenever a colony breaks away, there is going to be a relationship that will either be good or healthy or problematic or whatever. But there's always going to be some sort of relationship. And the United Kingdom, I suppose, has chosen to have a relationship with Ireland that, I don't know a lot of it. And I'm saying this from, my viewpoint of growing up in the United States. I mean, it's just, for me, parts of it is shocking how little the average British person knows about the whole history of Ireland in relation to the United Kingdom, and don't know anything about the Great Famine, which brought one of the great famines in human history, which which depopulated Ireland and sent people to the United States and to all. You know, they don't know this, so it's something that whenever Ireland, I suppose, looms up, whenever Ireland looms up on the horizon for some reason, people go into a kind of fail-safe. Well, you know, well, Ireland, you know, it's not that important, or it's a nuisance, or they'll do what we suggest, or whatever. They just don't have a clue.
Yeah, it's crazy. And yet it would, like, the Irish famine, I know it's in the past, and sometimes the past should be left in the past.
Yeah.
But that plays a big part in Irish UK-US relations, because the famine, was more or less caused by the UK, and a lot of Irish people left Ireland to go to the US. So there's an awful lot of...
Yes. Ireland was depopulated, and as I said again on Question Time, believe me, this famine was, is, and was a really huge cultural trope for Irish people down the generations in the United States. When they became Americans or whatever, people remember, it's like yesterday for a lot of people. And so for the United Kingdom to think that somehow the United States is enamored of Britain, especially England, you know, is ludicrous. I mean, they like, you know, television and the crown, and they love the idea of England, particularly see the United Kingdom as England, and England as some place in, you know, the south, in the home country counties, and they think it's the crown and all that. And they're very, you know, friendly and warm in that way. And Churchill, of course, did an enormous amount to cement American and UK and US relationship, because the UK absolutely depended on the United States goodwill and money, and everything else to get through World War II. So that sort of idea of the special relationship has always played very largely in US-UK relationships, but the real special relationship is with Ireland. And that is on a visceral, emotional level. The Prime Minister of Ireland is the only elected official in the world who has an open door to the Oval Office. No one else does, but the British don't know that. So that, you know, and now the United States and, I mean, sorry, the Democrats and Republicans, as I say, are at odds, particularly over the President of the United States, but they are as one over Ireland, and that is how they come together, is over anything that causes Ireland any kind of distress. And the United Kingdom will be surprised if they try and make Ireland look bad in relation to their Brexit, the UK's.
Yeah, it's all very complicated, and it's Brexit is
and
up
it's
in the
sad.
Air.
Yeah. And it's sad. It's very sad, because it takes an enormous amount of energy away from other things that we need to be dealing with, but the British have a really, especially the English, have a really big mythology about themselves in relation to Britain, and Brexit is part of it.
Yes, it's hard to see how it's all going to end up. As I said, Brexit is in up in the air at the moment, and the US establishment isn't much better. I don't know whether it was you, Bonnie, or Noel O'Connell from the European Movement of Ireland, quoted JFK to say that too often we enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought.
Probably Noel, but that sounds like him. And we are also in an era now, because of social media, where we don't even have the same facts anymore. And I put those in quotes. So that's kind of where we are at the moment. And it's a scary place to be, because we've never, ever, maybe in the history of humankind, ever disagreed about a fact so vehemently that we do now.
Okay, unfortunately now the clock has beaten us, so I'd say we could go on talking for the rest of the day.
Yes, but thank you for this. Thank you.
No, thank you for taking the call. Is there anything you'd like to add before we go?
Yes.
Anything you'd like to add?
That I'm very grateful to Ireland for its welcome to me. It's a big, lovely surprise, and I thank you very much.
And the conversation you had, is that available for the people to listen to?
I think probably the European Movement Ireland would know about that, and if you contacted them, they would let you know.
I will indeed. Listen, Bonnie, thank you very much for taking the call.
Thank you for the time. Thank you.